when I received the call to come be your pastor several years back, I was pastoring a church in a metropolitan area where evangelism was easy to take place and to do. It was a growing church. It was a church in which people were coming in on a regular basis, and I was in the baptistry on a regular basis. And some of you have heard me share with you the frustration that I had with the whole notion of coming to Berrien Springs, because after all, Berrien Springs does not have the population that the Metro Washington D.C. area has. And also, Berrien Springs is, quote, an Adventist ghetto. Some people feel that Berrien Springs is a community in which the combine has gone through the fields and has broken down all the standing wheats of grain, or has already harvested what is there. And whatever is left is broken and bruised and is unapproachable now. And I really struggled with coming to pastor here because of the, quote, evangelism potential. And as I prayed, and Kathy prayed with me, and we struggled with that thought in our minds, we became convinced that there is more opportunity here in Berrien Springs than what one cares to admit or what one realizes sometimes. And so we committed ourselves to this church family and this community 4 years ago. And at the time, I said to myself, the answer to the evangelism question in the community of Berrien Springs will not be the public reaping campaigns, the public big campaigns that one might have. And we have one scheduled for this fall, and we have another one scheduled for a year from this fall. But the real evangelism will take place in the caring lives of the average village church member and how they relate to those that they rub circles with on a daily basis in the sphere of their lives. I was convinced of that, and I still am. And I sense that our church here is poised for some movement forward in the area of the kind of growth and maturity that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to take place in this church. And it will have, and a lot of that will have to do with your being personally involved in people's lives, personal evangelism, church ministry, a caring church in a real way. And so if you've been thinking at all in the things that we've been talking about through the summer months, you will have sensed a common theme, a common thread being weaved or woven through it all. And that is that we do have a mission here in Berrien Springs. That the people of need in the community of Berrien Springs and even in our own village church are not interruptions. They are our work. And as insiders, we are to live before outsiders the life of an insider so that outsiders will want to become insiders. And that is also true of the outsiders who are appearing like they are insiders. And it's not enough for us to live godly lives before those that are in the community of Berrien Springs. We must open our hearts in love and caring relationships and build friendships and so forth with these people as well. I recognize in some of the things that we've talked about, because of the comments that I've gotten, they have been stimulating, they've been challenging, but they've also been confusing. Confusing as one individual has communicated, well, who do I know? Who is there for me to share my faith with? Who am I to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with in these truths for these days? I don't have any non-Adventist friends. I'm kind of like that rabbit hole Christian that Pastor Larry referred to, who pops out of his hole, dashes across the no man's land of non-Adventist life and people, jumping into the next hole that is filled with Adventist friends and Adventist circles. So the question is, who do I share my faith with? Where will I witness? And when will the opportunities come? And that's why we come back to this passage of Scripture that we looked at a couple weeks ago. But we looked at verses 5 and 6 a couple weeks ago. Now we look at verses 2 through 4. The emphasis on prayer and the focus on the need to have a door open for the Word of God. Now, doors, you understand, then as well as now, are an opportunity to enter, a means of approach or an access. And more than once, I have seen somebody come to the back door and they didn't see the little doorbell, so they don't ring it and they try the door and they try it lightly and it doesn't open, so I see them going over to the Reese Chapel. And I have known of some individuals that have gone all the way around the church looking for an open door to get in. A door provides access. And Paul is referring to a door that allows for the Word of God to enter into the hearts and the minds and the lives of individuals and communities. Paul is seeking an open door to listeners who have a ready disposition to hear and to respond to the preaching of Jesus Christ, the uplifting of the mysteries of Jesus Christ, and all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ has brought to this earth, and what He promises to bring to the hearts of men and women in these last days as we prepare for His glorious return in the clouds of glory. We often speak of the door of the heart. From Revelation 13, or chapter 3, Jesus says, I knock at the door and I want to come in. So we talk about the heart's door. That's a door that you and I can open and close and provide access to the Holy Spirit of God or to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3 also, we find an open and a shut door that the angel sets before the church at Philadelphia. That's the open and the shut door of the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus in the most holy place. The special work of intercession in these last days. Preparing a people for the return of Jesus Christ. We speak of that as the door of mercy, the door of probation, and we talk about the door of mercy swinging shut on the hinges of grace. But here we're talking about the door of opportunity to witness, the door of opportunity to share our faith, and the opportunity and the privilege that Jesus Christ has, and the power that Jesus Christ has to not only open opportunities for witnessing in our lives, but also the power that He has to open hearts to receive the truths that you and I want to share to men and women in these last days. And we see that in the book of Acts. In Acts 16, we see Paul going to Troas, and Paul is seeking to broaden and expand his ministry. And you read it there in Acts 16. The Holy Spirit resists Paul and keeps Paul from going in the direction that he wants to go. And Paul's frustrated about it, so much so that when he goes to sleep, it's on his mind. And in the middle of the night, we read in Acts 16, he sees a dream. And in that dream, there's a man over in Macedonia that says, come on over, come on over. And when he woke up in the morning, he shared it with those that were with him, and they concluded that Jesus Christ wanted them to go over into Macedonia and begin a work in Macedonia. In fact, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, refers to this experience as a door opened for me in the Lord. A door of opportunity to witness, to share. But as you read the unraveling story in Acts 16. Paul and his friends go to Macedonia. They go down by the riverside and they find a lady by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple. And there as they preach, there as they share the truths that men and women need to hear for these days. Acts 16:14 says the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. So the Lord opens the door for ministry and He opens the heart to receive that ministry. That just tells me that opportunities for sharing Christ are God-given opportunities. God gives the chance for us to proclaim. God gives the chance for us to share. God gives the chance for us to live godly lives. And then He opens the hearts of the people around to hear and to respond to those messages. And we are utterly dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for any good that can ever be done in and through us. We stand in need of His power and of His direction and of His providence. And where we are not consciously relying on God, there we shall inevitably be relying on ourselves. And in such situations, we will always be finding closed doors. Or we will not see the open doors that are right there around us. Or, tragically, because of our behavior and because of our lack of interest, doors that have been opened will close forever. A conscious reliance on God, according to Paul in this passage, demands one indispensable element, and that is much, much prayer. Praying that the Lord will show us where those doors are. What is intriguing to me as I read this passage of Scripture is that Paul is writing from prison. He mentions it there and at the end of verse 3, "For which I have also been imprisoned." He's sitting with shackles on his arms and on his legs. He's chained to a Roman guard. This is that first imprisonment of Paul where he is in Rome. He's under house arrest. And in many ways, Paul's life is restricted. Paul is not free to come and go and do the things that he used to do, to preach the gospel, to share his faith as vibrantly and as broadly as he had been. Now his life is restricted. And it's easy for us to imagine in our hearts and our minds that here Paul is writing to the church at Colossae and saying, pray for me, will you? And it's easy for us to imagine Paul saying, pray for me that I'll get out of jail so I can preach the gospel more effectively. Pray for me that we'll have better food here. Pray for me that I'll have a better living condition than I have. Pray for me that these guards won't be bugging me day in and day out. But what I'm excited about that he would rather solicit prayer that the gospel may get an opening and a voice right where he is. Paul is indeed bound, but he is still free in Jesus Christ. He is contained, but he is not constrained. There are many things that he could have been praying for, personal things, but he only wanted an opportunity to share Jesus Christ. He wasn't seeking release from prison. No, he wanted the door for the Word open right there where he was. Paul looked for opportunities to share the gospel where he was. And we understand when we read the closing verses of Acts 28 and we read the first chapter of Philippians and the closing chapter of Philippians, that the prayers of the Colossians in behalf of Paul, that a door for the Word would be opened for him where he was in chains as a prisoner, that those prayers were answered. Because we see people coming to his place of house arrest, and he's preaching right there where he was chained. And then in Philippians, we hear Paul referring to that the whole Roman guard around Caesar's residence had become familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he closes the book of Philippians, he says, "Those who are of the household of Caesar greet you." Now I say to myself, why should I be looking to go someplace else to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? If Paul can preach the gospel where he is in chains to policemen, can I not do it to those that I rub shoulders with, that I come into contact with in my life? You see, we usually talk about open doors of opportunity when we think about China and Russia. And we rejoiced for a short period of time at the opportunity for sharing the gospel in China. And now that door in many of our minds has swung shut. We're rejoicing at how the door is opening in Russia. But the doors for the Word that Paul has in mind and that you and I need to have in our minds this morning are the doors of the people that are right around us, the people we know, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. A personal friend of Kathy's, my wife, and Marine, our Bible worker, living down in Maryland, a friend by the name of Darlene Moser, has a very intriguing and interesting way of ministry. A couple years back, her husband divorced her when she was pregnant with her third daughter, leaving her devastated, naturally, and also without income because she had not been employed. Her husband brought in quite a bit of income, and even though he has been paying alimony, there's been a radical shift in the financial setting of this particular home. Darlene found herself doing house cleaning as a way of earning money. And when she first started doing it, she thought to herself, and if you knew the kind of lifestyle that they had been living before her husband left, one could appreciate this all the more. But she found it kind of humiliating and embarrassing to think that she was cleaning other people's toilets and vacuuming their floors. And then when she found herself cleaning the residence of one of her husband's best friends, she was really put down in her heart and in her mind. But somehow the Lord spoke to Darlene and told Darlene, "You have an opportunity to minister for me as you clean people's homes." And she's built up a very interesting business in the last couple of years. A lot of her customers are very well-to-do people. And as she goes into their place of residence, she calls her business the Southern Touch. And her girls and she, they wear shirts that have the Southern Touch name on it. She looks at what they read. She becomes personally acquainted with these people, and she's had opportunities to share the Lord Jesus Christ with many of these people in the privacy of their own home in the last couple years. I think that's exciting. That's sharing Jesus Christ where one is. And then who would ever think of witnessing to the AT&T operator on the phone? I can tell you of a village member. This is current. A village member, 2 years ago, in contact with an AT&T operator, the operator just asks, "What's the weather like in Berrien Springs?" And next thing you know, they're involved in a conversation, and our member gets this lady's name and writes her a letter. And over a period of time, correspondence takes place. The young lady is now married and has a little girl. And this lady has sent pictures of this little baby, this little girl. And the letters are getting more frequent. And they've touched on spiritual things. And they talk about taking a visit to Michigan someday to meet this family. And I say to myself, that's sweet, isn't it? Opportunity to share Jesus Christ because of being sensitive to a conversation on the phone. I have a little card in my hand from a businesswoman, a member of our village church, has a business here in the community, and the nature of this business at time has allowed her to encourage and exhort and to pray with people who are not Adventists. And she recently had a little card designed that I was pleased to see. And in bold letters across the front, it says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He lets me rest. He restores my failing health. He helps me do what honors Him most. And as you read through the card, there's a sweet prayer in the middle of it and some comments on the back. And then it says, for additional copies or for free Bible study correspondence, call or write. And then there's her personal name. I know of a businessman in our church family here that was sitting around talking with some other business individuals, not of our church family. Somehow they got on spiritual themes, and they kind of opened up to one another and started sharing how difficult it is to live the Christian life sometimes. Our member shared with them that when they fall, they don't just trip a little bit, they usually fall flat on their face and really make a big mess out of it all. And this is what they were sharing with their non-Adventist friends around lunch. And then this one business acquaintance said, well, you know, I've been reading this magazine called Signs of the Times. And right away, the ears perked up on our member. And they said, you know, that's our magazine. And they commented back, well, you know, sometimes I think you folk have some things more together than others. And as they chatted a little bit, our businessman referred to a series of meetings that we're having in the fall, invited their business acquaintance, and he said, I'm going to come. That business acquaintance has also already given money for our school roof. Yesterday, and I need to be careful how I communicate some things, but we need to talk about these things frankly. Yesterday, I stepped up on the roof. I like to see how things are going on. And I stepped up on the roof of the school. And as I stepped up on the roof, one of the workers there commented to me, have you come to help? And I had today's sermon and a couple other things on my mind, so I really wasn't there to help. I was there to look things over. But they mentioned it a couple times, did you come to help? And I said, I am here to provide moral support. And with that, they stood up and I smiled and looked in their face and I said, of course, if your morals are fine, I don't need to give you support in that area. I can give you some other kind of support. And immediately I saw the individual swallow. And I suddenly realized that what I said really registered in this individual's mind. As I walked back and forth and finally engaged this individual again in conversation, I began to realize that here is a former member of our village church, someone that used to worship vibrantly here with us and has had their name removed from our church family, even since I've come, early when I came here, and so it took me a little bit to recognize who they were again. And as we chatted together, just briefly, he mentioned something about things equalizing out. And I said to myself, here I am standing on the roof, and there is somebody that I need to share Jesus Christ with right now, right here. I hope you sense what I'm saying, that our sphere of influence is where we are, who we know, those who are around us. Sharing the word of Jesus Christ is not standing anonymously at Schrader's and handing out pamphlets about the mark of the beast. We're to mingle among those that are around us as one who desires their good, living before them godly lives, befriending them, showing them our love, opening our hearts to them, opening our homes to them, getting involved in caring ways in their lives. And over a period of time in establishing those relationships, the Lord Jesus Christ will enable us to see the doors swing open for us to share on a more spiritual level. Opportunities are right where we are. Opportunities are in the sphere of our influence. And what we need to do, and this is my challenge to you this morning, what we need to do is we need to set aside some quiet time to think about those whom we can influence for Jesus Christ. We need to sit down with a piece of paper and begin making a list of those in our family, our business acquaintances, our friends, our neighbors, our former members that we used to know, the inactive members that we are acquainted with. And we need to make a list. And then we need to ask ourselves, what kind of life have we been living before each one of those that are listed now on that list? And then ask ourselves if we've been personal and caring. Have we been showing them love? The kind of open, caring, free love, unconditional love that Jesus Christ shared so warmly and openly towards sinners and even towards us who are sinners. And then we must pray. We must pray. And that's really the focus of these verses. Pray for open doors. The doors are around us, but they need to be opened. And so we're to pray. Pray for these very people and for opportunities to share Christ and the truths for these days. The idea of prayer as a key to unlock closed doors is a constant theme in the New Testament. Speaking to God about those who are around us, not just general prayers, but specific prayers, pointed prayers, heartfelt prayers, interceding for others specifically. 1 John 5:16 refers to us when we see a brother sinning a sin that is not unto death, we can ask the Father and He will give us life to give to those who are living a life or they're sinning sins that do not lead to death. That means that we must become personally familiar enough with those individuals and what's going on in their lives that we have something specific to pray about. In doing so, we're speaking to God about people so that we will be able to speak to people about God. And that's something that I wrote in my first Bible when I was just a teenager. I bought this big Bible, knowing that I was going to be a pastor someday. And so I bought this Bible, imagining in my mind that I was going to be a pastor. I wrote in the flyleaf of it, "Talk more with God about men, and it will be easier to talk to men about God." And so the burden of our prayers every day should be, "Who? Today, Lord." And as we rub shoulders with people, always asking ourselves, "Who today, Lord, shall I witness and share love to and with?" We must also ask the question, "Lord, where's the open door?" We may need to pray that prayer for months and weeks and even years. But brothers and sisters, if we don't pray that prayer, if that's not the burden of our heart, those doors will never open. Ellen White tells us, "Let the workers grasp the promises of God, saying, 'I must have this soul converted to Jesus Christ.'" She says again, "The power for effective soul winning comes on our knees, pleading with God for salvation of some special soul." It's not generalities. It's not saying, "Lord, bless our evangelistic series in the fall, but Lord, bless the people that I know," and begin listing them. And if in some way the series that we have in the fall can touch them, then so be it. But if it takes 3 years or 4 years in the setting of God's providence for that heart to be opened, we must be praying now, irregardless of the series of meetings that's coming in the fall. The sixth volume of the testimonies we read, the members of the church need to feel a great burden, a personal interest for a soul that is ready to perish. select another and still another soul, daily seeking guidance from God in earnest prayer and working in divine wisdom. And as you do this, God will give you the Holy Spirit to convict that soul. Coming back to 1 John, where it says, if we see a brother sinning a sin that is not unto death, the Lord will give us life to give to that individual. Here Ellen White tells us that it's the Holy Spirit is given to us that we can convict another person in terms of spiritual things. Our persevering prayers will bring souls to the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Paul, when you look in verse 4, not only wants a door of opportunity open to him to preach Jesus Christ, but he wants boldness in preaching on those occasions. He says, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul wanted the ability to proclaim the mystery of Jesus Christ in a clear way. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should, he says. He's talking about the gospel coming home and with saving effects. I remind us again that if we talk often with God about men, it will be easier for us to talk to men about God. I think of Isaiah 50, where it says, the Lord has given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as to the learned. Linking the private, personal, devotional prayer life with the growing ability to know how to speak a caring word to someone who is weary. You see, it's one thing for God to open a door of witness. It's another for us to enter it and to begin speaking. But if we've been praying for those doors to be opened, such a change of attitude and thought will come into our hearts that when those doors are opened, we will know how to speak. In First Selected Messages 82, it says, if God's people had the love of Christ in the heart, 1,000 doors of usefulness would be opened and we would be invited to enter. My wife and I know someone in this congregation, and God bless them, who has a positive heart, positive life. We have witnessed them in gatherings. You know, whenever you get people together, there's always opportunity to talk about things that maybe we shouldn't talk about. There's the large church and its problems and its needs. And then there's our local church and its problems and its needs. And then there are individuals and their problems and their needs. We have watched this individual at such times when conversations are even beginning to go in a certain direction, suddenly, out of the clear blue, compliment someone in the group or talk about something good that's happening. And it's always been a surprise how the conversation suddenly shifts and changes. It's almost like it catches everyone else unawares. I say to the Lord, that's a sweet ministry in our church. And it talks about the power of positive things, the power of that which is good and that which is happening that is wonderful and that can be praised. And it also talks about the power of the kind of things that we need to be focusing our minds together on as a church family. And so as I read that comment from Ellen White, if God's people had the love of Christ in the heart, 1,000 doors of usefulness would be opened and we would be invited to enter. I see myself and I see a village family that in the course of conversations and rubbing shoulders with people, men and women in this community, we will often drop words and comments and thoughts that are completely out of the flow of conversation sometimes, but will be done in such a sweet and unexpected way that hearts will suddenly become open and the Spirit will minister in a sweet way. May the Lord Jesus Christ send His Holy Spirit with reviving, newing power into our lives as we understand that the forward movement of God's church in this community is in our hands, in our hearts, takes place in the sphere of influence that you have in your life, the people that you know and love. And I pray that you will go and you will take that piece of paper and you will make up your list. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will move your heart, burden your heart. Say, where's the door, Lord? So much so that you'll see the doors when they open.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.